Good evening, everybody. It's a night. It was beautiful today, isn't it? At my house, the snow just sort of kept blowing by all day, but just really lightly. Andrew, you might not be too surprised, since this happens to us sometimes. But the title of this talk is Wash Your Bowl, Part 1. And what's fun is Andrew's going to talk about this with this koan on Wednesday. And so if you have a chance to go down there, it's really kind of fun to hear, you know, two different takes. But this one is not mostly going to focus there, even though it says that. we're ending our practice period. This is it. And it's been really interesting for me, this period of time. And I hope it's been in some way useful for you. As we wrap this up right at Chinese New Year, there's a nice feeling of ending at the beginning. Yeah. And I find myself even more curious about practice, about practices and practice, than at the beginning. One of the themes that was brought in during our retreat this weekend was the question about mind taming, mind training. And you know, what mind, what training, what is that? Who's training whom? How enlightenment and darkenment are woven together or felted together as awakening. I was watching my sister-in-law do felting, and I thought it's kind of an interesting image. How one thing sort of gets poked into another and they become indistinguishable. And there's a particular koan, this one that keeps coming up. So what I want to do is drop this koan into the field and then just leave it there. So let it come along, maybe kind of like the drone at the bottom of a song, of a raga, you know, an ongoing note. So actually both in the Doorless Gate and in the Book of Serenity, wash your bowl. So a student asked Zhaozhou, I've just entered your monastery. Please give me some guidance. Or another translation just says, please teach me. Zhaozhou asked, have you had your breakfast? Yes. Wash your bowl. Zhaozhou was known for his brief responses. So the student has just arrived and is holding out her bowl, in a way, begging, yeah? I've just arrived, please teach me, please give me something. But Zhaozhou asks a question, have you received something? Have you had your breakfast? Have you eaten your breakfast? Yes, wash your bowl. Seems like good advice. And often that is sort of taken as just do completely the next thing. Yeah. Just be completely present to whatever that next thing is. For this evening, though, just for this evening, I'd like to invite you to play with something. What if Jiaozhou is actually giving the student fundamental meditation teaching? The student asked for something, and what if Jiaozhou is giving him everything that Jiaozhou has right then to give? Yeah, just wash your bowl. As you're sitting in meditation, what comes to you? Is it in some way an offering of sorts? Or could you take it that way? One thought comes, a sound, gleaming of a stone, sensation of your knees, something comes to you. And is it an offering? Do you receive it? Is it what goes into you? Just when you're just sitting there, you can really notice because you're sitting quietly. Yeah, you can notice what happens, what comes and goes, moment by moment. What if you then wash clean the bowl, the whole field of awareness? This is sort of like another suggestion you've heard me give, which is the phrase, breath sweeps mind. To sit and just allow that sensation, breath sweeps mind. So here, it's as if you let breath be your water, yeah? Letting it wash everything away. Nothing needs to be kept. That meal's over. Yeah? Moment after moment. So, what if, and I'm not saying that this is how you should understand this at all. I'm just saying provisionally for this evening. What if you kind of hold that way and see what it does? See what happens. So what if this is just your basic practice instruction, right? So as I say, I've been feeling curious about what's practice. So what if that's a practice instruction? We've just spent a weekend with this old Zen story of awakening, told in pictures, the Oxford in pictures, which... This story is both a description of what tends to happen in a life devoted to awakening. Some observations about what sometimes happens, how it is, and a prescription. At least that's the way they feel to me, the way this story feels to me, that it includes elements of description and elements of prescription. Some advice or observations about practice. What do you do to bring about the ever-deepening realization of non-duality? Which is one definition of practice, right? Practice is whatever you do that brings about your direct experience of not-two-ness, of the ongoing ungraspable, indivisible tissue of absence and presence, of spaciousness and appearance. So if this is a story about that, the story goes like this at the beginning. You, the person, are feeling lost and helpless, out of control, your life out of control, you're in the deep, deep woods, nothing, no direction, home. And at the same time, you remember. Yeah? You remember that life is fresh and amazing, beautiful, huge, powerful. And you don't want to be lost far away from it. There's that yearning. So here's our little person with toes going in one direction and nose pointed the other way, not even able to follow her nose. That lost. And listening and all, and hearing crickets. No directionality for that either. Yeah. No direction, huh? And you're bound to this sense, this, you can call it a memory, or you could just call it a sense of belonging to that wholeness, and you can't stand the separation, that place. Yeah? What's it like then to even have to let that go? Yeah? To even have to let go that sense, or not that you have to, but that you do. Somehow that falls away from you. Even that isn't left. And so then something else starts to happen. And it's pictured this way. Down by the riverside in a clearing, at daytime with a cloud in the sky, tracks. And so here, you have a direction. You can take a direction. You discover teachings, practices that remind you of home. I don't know if you remember that moment, but I bet you do, where you went, oh, this feels like the whole real me. This feels like where I belong. This feels like home in some way. I'm going to follow this. Let's see where it goes. And you go after them, and sure enough, you feel nourished and encouraged by them. So something's landing in your bowl, so to speak. And hooray! You get a small or large, but undoubtable transforming glimpse. Yeah. And there's this, yes, you know, hallelujah. It's very exciting. That glimpse, it's like, oh yeah, I knew there was something here. Yeah. And here. And that's a very powerful moment. And there's a kind of, that yes becomes a, I'll do it. I will give myself to this in some way. So you go for more and you keep practicing and questioning and releasing. But shoot, you can't keep hold of it. You can't keep hold of that fresh, powerful vision. It comes and goes, doesn't it? You know, you're sitting in your meditation and sometimes it's there. You are, everything is whole for a bit. And sometimes it's not. It comes and goes. And your own ability and perseverance come and go, right? Sometimes you feel like you can and sometimes you feel like you can't and you don't have it, whatever it is. And so if you hang in there, stilling, opening the space, releasing, you find that the nature of things keeps coming for you. Seems to want you in some way. You know, the clear beauty of, fundamental beauty of things, in spite of everything, it just seems to keep coming for you. Yeah? And seems to help and call, and even the bit of skill and understanding you have allow you to hang in there. Yeah? You can hang in there now. And you get to know each other. This huge mindness and you and your little particularity of you. This, the great sort of openings and spaciousness and moments of vividness and the particularities of this and this and now this. And if you hang in there, and along the way, you get more and more patient, which to me means more and more willing to let go. The letting go doesn't necessarily get easier. It gets sort of more subtle, so that sometimes you don't notice when you're hanging on, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, huh, well, I thought I had that figured out, and maybe not so much. I guess I need to let that go, too. Or I guess I am letting that go. I recognize it. And over and over, yeah, that worked once, but not this time, and clearing the space again. And then there gets to be kind of less and less distance and tension between you and this mysterious other that is not you. And there gets to be a harmony. The rhythms and the tunes of you and your heartbeat, your very own rhythms, your heartbeat, your breath rhythm, the rhythm of your feet and your steps come somehow into sync with the heartbeat and the breathbeat and the footbeat of this life, of this living. It feels less distant, less effortful, more natural. And sometimes you're just riding along. And with a tune, yeah, with a tune and a rhythm that delight you and everything around you. Not so much a tune that you're making, right, but that a tune that's made up of this, the lilt and the rhythm of you in this moment, in this presence of being. And you can't do this and hold on. It doesn't work yet. So you don't. And this, which doesn't even feel like practice, but continues to be practice of going along this way, this subtle attunement carries you right on into the heart of the home that you thought you'd lost. And you can rest there a bit, lying down, held by the earth, refreshed by the smells of home and the light of that very same moon. And in this practice of resting, without needing anything, complete, suddenly there's nothing. Yeah. So this is a kind of, it feels like a deep release to rest that way. Yeah. Another kind of letting go, trusting. And suddenly there's nothing at all, nothing distinguishable. Not you or not you. A radiant darkness. And you do the practice of simply abiding in this no place, which is not a doing at all. Not having to make something of it, allowing. And as that passes, there you are. No longer needing the refuge of home, because look, this. Just this. And you keep practicing, letting go of needing even this. to be any one thing or anyone where. And eventually you find that this freedom is completely portable. And I love this depiction of the completely portable this, which goes with you, you know, goes with you, your raggedy, unwashed, unkempt human self, just as you are, you know, barefoot and satisfied. And it goes with you sort of like a bottomless goodie bag, yeah? There's always something in there for a situation you meet, you know, and it's almost like you just sort of reach in, you don't know what you're picking out, but you'll pick out something, oh, this, and you know, try this, and then there's something kind of magical about that. Not that it works or doesn't work, but something interesting happens. Something happens. And the generosity of that moment, of that being able to trust that the bag is bottomless, is beautiful and happy. It's a very happy thing. And you keep practicing. And the more confidence you have in this amazing freedom, the more you can let it lead you right back into the dark woods of confusion and doubt. You can let go even of your happy life in the marketplace, because somewhere in you, even in those dark woods, you know that there is help. There are ancestors, there are friends, crickets sometimes, tools, practices. And really, there is nowhere that's not home. So a companion image to the story that's not depicted, but is one that I really love, is the picture of a servant standing with head bowed, listening. Yeah? And it feels to me as if that's in here somewhere. Maybe like that thread that runs through the willingness to to be the space in which the next word will land. Something like that. So that's it for now. And I would welcome any